This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio, cutting-edge thinking for being youthful at every age. I usually interview anti-aging experts on what it takes to live longer, healthier, and happier. Some listeners have asked when they get to hear my views on anti-aging psychology. Well, today's the day. I recently did a teleseminar on how to use anti-aging psychology to be more youthful. Today, we're going to do a special edition of Ageless Lifestyles and feature that seminar. Next week, we'll return to our usual format when I interview online dating expert, Dr. James Horan.
Welcome, everyone. Good evening. This is your moderator, Stephen Ladd. Did you ever notice how some people look and feel younger than their age, and some look prematurely old? Would you like to know their secrets? The biggest difference is that they think differently. Adopt their thinking, and you too can think, feel, and be more youthful. It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Michael Bricky, America's preeminent anti-aging psychologist, who will help you learn how to be more youthful. Dr. Bricky is a board-certified psychologist, an APA fellow, and an Oprah-featured author. In this seminar, we'll take a brief look at why anti-aging psychology is vital to a long, happy, healthy life, and then we'll jump right into things you can do tonight to adopt an anti-aging mindset. Welcome, Dr. Bricky.
Thank you, Stephen. Between 1900 and 2000, Americans' life expectancy jumped from 47 years to 77 years. With genetic engineering, tissue engineering, stem cell therapies, nanotechnology, a vaccine for Alzheimer's, which we'll probably see in the next 10 years, and other medical advances, a lot of people listening to this call will live well into their hundreds. Even the conservative U.S. Census Bureau predicts there will be almost a million Americans 100 years and older by 2050. And the Census Bureau isn't taking into account the baby boomers, but they haven't really taken into account the technological advances that are going to give a huge boost to longevity. We're likely to see longevity rates continue to skyrocket, and many people not only living well into their hundreds, but being sharp mentally and physically in their hundreds. That being the case, I'd encourage you to consider Satchel Paige's advice when he said, "If I knew I was going to live so long, I would have taken better care of myself." Studies comparing fraternal and identical twins found that only 30% of how long you live is genetic. Doing the math, that means that 70% is mental, how you think, and the lifestyle you choose. That 70% is going to be even larger with genetic engineering cures that will cure a lot of diseases and some of the causes of aging. So what does it take to live a long, healthy, happy life? Certainly you need to eat reasonably well and get some exercise. But the rest is mindset, or what I call the anti-aging ABCs. Matter of fact, I just got that trademarked. That's the attitudes, the beliefs, and the coping skills for living well into your hundreds. I came up with 4 attitudes, 36 beliefs, and 4 coping skills that'll help you live longer, healthier, and happier. Tonight, we're going to look at 8 of the beliefs that you can adopt tonight that will help you instantly have a more youthful mindset. And the beliefs will make so much sense that you can lock them in permanently for the rest of your life. About 20 minutes of the seminar, and toward the end of the seminar, we'll take a break for some questions, so be thinking about what questions you'd like to ask. Now, you may be wondering, how does your thinking make you more youthful? Well, it's pretty straightforward. When you think more youthfully, you feel more youthful. And when you feel more youthful, it shows in your posture, your demeanor, your facial expressions, and your energy level. And when you look more youthful, people even treat you better.
So, Dr. Bricky, what is a belief that can help me think, feel, look, and be more youthful right now?
Well, the first thing I'd like you to do is trash the idea of senior moments. That one really fries me. There's even a supplement company that markets a senior moment pill that's just basically vitamins. The FTC finally pulled it. You see, when you're in your 20s and you can't remember something, what do you say? You say, "Oh man, I'm under so much stress at work and I didn't get much sleep last night. And to tell the truth, I had a little too much to drink. I started a new medication." But if you're 50 or 60, people say, "Oh, I'm having a senior moment," which is really saying, "Hey, there's brain damage up there. It probably never got recorded in the first place, so I'm not even going to try to remember that." And when you do that, you sell yourself short. Well, less than 1% of Americans under 65 have dementia or have brain damage. It's true that as we get older, the processing speed is a little slower. And when you're in your 50s and 60s and older, you know a lot more people named John. You know a lot more people named Smith. It's going to take you longer to go through all the files and identify that name or identify that face. But you want to trust your memory, and it's amazing how often 5 minutes later it comes to you, oh, yeah, that's what his name is. So one of the first things you want to do is get rid of this concept of senior moments and trust your memory. Tell yourself, it'll come to me. And that tells your mind to keep processing it even while you're doing other things, and hopefully it'll come to you.
That's great. Let's go ahead and consider senior moments officially trashed from this point forward. Okay, Dr. Bricky, what else can we do?
Well, I'm glad you're trashing the senior moments. The second belief that I'd like you to adopt is that your mind actually gets better with age. We have this myth in our society that as we get older, it's all downhill, not only physically, but also mentally, and our brain just wears out. There was a theory a couple decades ago that every day you lose 100,000 brain cells, and if you make it to 70 or 80 or 90, your brain's going to be mush. Well, better research methods prove that untrue, and now we're seeing more and more research saying that you can grow new brain cells at any age, not only the dendritic connections, but new neurons in the brain. Let me make an analogy with computers. It's true that as we get older, the processing speed, the megahertz, if you will, gets a little slower. But our hard drives, if you're a lifelong learner, gets fuller and fuller and richer and richer and richer. So you have more information and you develop more programs. Now, programs are the software, if you will, that lets you do very complicated things very easily without even thinking about it. When my teenage son needed to learn how to drive, I said, oh, this is going to be so easy. He plays so many video games, it'll be a snap for him. And it wasn't. He said, Dad, how in the world do you concentrate on the road ahead and the rearview mirror and the side mirrors and the instrument panel and the gas pedal and the brake and the traffic signs? This is hard. Well, once you've been driving a year or two, much less 10 or 20 or 30, you're bored. You're so bored, you're talking to other people or you're talking on the cell phone or listening to the radio. You've kind of got it on automatic pilot. That's one of the programs you've developed. To give another analogy, a skilled, seasoned bridge player at 60 or 70 can run circles around somebody who's only been playing a couple years because she sees the patterns. Let me give one more example. The federal government has a mandatory retirement age for air traffic controllers at 55. Well, recent research finds that at 55 or 60, the air traffic controllers are at least as good, sometimes even better, than the younger air traffic controllers because they see the patterns. So as you get older, you get a richer hard drive, you get more software or more programs. So let me put it this way. Would you really want to trade your wonderfully rich hard drive of information, your wonderfully rich collection of programs, for the little bit faster processing speed that a teenager has? Not a very good trade. So you want to lock in the belief that your mind can actually get better with age.
So, Dr. Bricky, it sounds like a lot of these belief changes are really just kind of rethinking and letting go of the limiting stereotypes and beliefs that our culture has about aging, which I'm ready to do. What else do you have for us?
Well, Stephen, you've got it exactly. One of the beliefs that pervades in our culture is that the happiest years of our lives were in our teens and 20s. Now, if you're really honest with yourself, was that the happiest years of your life? For most of us, teenage years were very, very painful. We were worried about whether anybody would love us, whether we could pass algebra, and all these zits that were popping up, and all this petty stuff like, were we wearing the right kind of shirt and hanging with the right people, and were we really right that the music that we thought was the coolest, or was our friend right? It was a very insecure time. Get a little older, and in our 20s, things are a little nicer, but you still have to get along with the boss, and coworkers, and the customers. The older you get, the more comfortable you are with yourself, the clearer you are about
who you are, what you want, and how you want to go about getting it.
by the time you get to the age where you don't have to work for the money anymore, you're very free of peer pressure. I hear people in their 70s and 80s and 90s saying, I don't have time for that nonsense. Now, the research shows that in their 20s, we have 28% of Americans saying they're very happy. That percentage goes steadily up with the age brackets. By the time we get to our 70s, we're up to 38% of Americans saying they're very happy, from 28 to 38%. So the research says that you're probably going to be happier as you get older. You want to have that belief and know that the research is behind that belief.
Now, these new beliefs, or the reframing of these old beliefs, are really giving me a sense of optimism and a better positive thinking about getting older. As yet, maybe the best is yet to come, Dr. Bricky?
You bet the best is yet to come in so many ways. Keep in mind that 50 years ago, most people looked old at 50. Now, most people look pretty youthful at 50, and a lot of people at 50 look fabulous. Scientific advances in the pipeline and learning your anti-aging ABCs are going to help you not only feel younger, but look younger at older and older chronological ages.
Dr. Bricky, you've written two excellent books covering these topics and these techniques. Defy Aging, which was featured on Oprah, and 52 Baby Steps to Grow Young. Can you tell the listeners what the difference is between these two books?
In Defy Aging, I wrote about the research, the theory, and the how-to for living well into your hundreds. But I realized that, you know, it's 416 pages. Most people, even if they buy a nonfiction book, they don't get around to reading it. So I distilled into 2 pages a week practical steps that you can take to help you live longer, healthier, and happier. So the 52 baby steps a week is just 2 pages of a simple little step that you can take, a little tweak in your thinking. And the cumulative effect of those little baby steps is like compound interest. It just adds up and grows and has profound effect.
Dr. Bricky, you also recorded some hypnosis CDs on reversing aging. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, our culture gives us these messages about it's all downhill and some of the other messages we've been talking about. And we hear it all our lives. We come to believe it unconsciously. I mean, the way we learn is we focus on something consciously. And when we learn it, it goes into our unconscious mind and we're not even aware of it so much. I wanted to make sure that we address the unconscious beliefs that often got people stuck into thinking of themselves as older than they need to be. So I teamed up with John David Jones, who's a brilliant keyboardist. He's worked with Della Reese and Gladys Knight and a lot of stars. And he recorded some original soundtrack music for me, 4 tracks. It just hugs the words that I say. And then I carefully crafted the pattern to address the unconscious beliefs. And they're designed so people can just put them on at night, fall asleep with them, and wake up the next morning with a lot better ideas in their unconscious mind.
Well, I've personally used these reverse aging hypnosis CDs, and they're quite amazing. That original keyboard work by John Davis Jones is great. And your suggestions, very well crafted and definitely had an impact as I was using the CDs and still do to this day. Now, I've produced and heard a lot of hypnosis CDs, but I've never heard anything quite like this or with such great music.
Thanks, Stephen. Especially coming from a peak performance hypnotist like yourself, that's a great compliment. At the end of the show, I'll have a special offer for tonight's listeners, but let's get back to some beliefs. The fourth belief I want you to have is that you're a person who cultivates positive memories. So many people think that memories are like tape recorders, and whenever you remember something, you're pulling up the recording. With the possible exception of post-traumatic stress disorder, in which the thing was so traumatic that maybe it got burned into your brain, every memory is really reconstructed. And it's constructed a little differently depending on the mood we're in, the context, and frankly, whether it's in our interest to remember it positively or negatively or with a little twist to it. I saw a headline in an AARP article in September or October of 2008 that I just couldn't believe. It said, one never really gets over the death of a parent. That's bunk. The research says that when you lose a close family member, We have 10 to 15% of people get stuck in chronic depression. We have 35 to 40% experience some disruption for several months to 2 years. And we have half of the people who experience the loss of a family member with only transient symptoms, not even mild depression. If you look at traumatic experiences that Americans have, in war, many soldiers are exposed to very traumatic experiences. Only about 15% of them develop PTSD, with things like traumatic automobile accidents, rapes, mugging, armed robberies. We have about 10% of people experiencing post-traumatic stress symptoms. So a famous centenarian researcher, centenarians being people 100 years and older, Dr. Bell Boone Beard, interviewed literally hundreds of centenarians quite a few decades ago, and she found they had twice as many positive memories as negative memories. I think what's going on here is that, like a gardener, they're cultivating the positive memories, telling those stories over and over again with great enthusiasm. And the negative memories, they're either weeding them out or, better yet, seeing the humor in them. And with these centenarians, it wasn't that they had an easy life. These are people who lived through the Great Depression. They lived through two world wars and several other wars. Most of them didn't have much money, but they managed to see life primarily in a positive way, and their memories were primarily positive memories. So one of the beliefs that you want to have is that, like a gardener, you're constantly nourishing the good memories, weeding out the bad memories. Let me give one more example on memories. One of the ways I often see people stuck is they'll remember mom after she passed, and they'll say, there we are all gathered around the Thanksgiving table, and there's the empty chair where mom's supposed to be. Or they'll remember dad, and there he is, all 80 pounds of him that's left in the hospital with all the tubes and the machines running, and he looks so pathetic. Well, if you see those pictures in your mind's eye, you're going to feel terrible. I think it's disrespectful to pull up those memories after all the wonderful times that you had with the parent. You want to pull up those scenes of all being around the kitchen telling jokes, or dad putting his arm around you, those kind of positive memories. It's a choice. So we want to have the belief that you're a person who cultivates positive memory and weeds out the negative ones.
This might now be a good time for us to pause and take a few questions from our listeners. If you would like to ask Dr. Bricky a question about how to defy aging and start growing younger tonight, unmute your telephones by pressing *6 and fire away.
Dr. Bricky.
Yes.
I do have a question for you. And forgive me if this question sounds terribly existential, but I'm curious what your thoughts on regards to what role, if any, does a sense of a higher purpose play in our lives?
Well, that's a very interesting and tricky question. We're seeing more and more research that says that a lot of people are seeing themselves as spiritual and not necessarily religious. I think you need to have one or the other, religious being people who have a strong need for the ritual and the connection with a church, synagogue, mosque, something like that, and the spiritual being very concerned about the important issues of life and love and caring and connection, but possibly being uncomfortable with the institutional aspects of religion. So I think either one will work, but you really need one of the two to make you feel like there's something more important than just yourself.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
I didn't catch number three on your steps or your things you were saying. You said that number one was trash the idea that you're having a senior moment. Number two is your mind gets better with age. Lock in that belief.
Number three is that people get happier with age, and the research says that in their 20s, we have 28% of Americans saying they're very happy. In their 70s, we're up to 38% of Americans saying they're very happy. So you're probably going to get happier as you get older.
Number four was I'm afraid to be a person who thinks and cultivates positive memories.
Right.
Okay. And then you didn't get to number five yet, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Some more questions.
Could you just repeat a little bit what you said about a death of a parent and half the people get depressed? And did you say something about how to overcome that, or it was just their thinking, or
Well, I'll get to some of the ways to overcome it. I did give the example of the mental pictures that we choose when we're thinking of a deceased parent makes a big difference. And I gave the example of seeing them pathetically in the hospital versus seeing a picture of one of the warm, fond memories that you have of them and choosing the fond memories instead of the negative memories.
Thank you. Yeah. Seeing a picture of my father in the nursing home, that makes it so hard and sad.
Nursing homes are really tough because they're not really a home. They're very institutional and it's a medical model.
Thank you. That I'm going to think more of a good time.
Another question.
I have another one.
Yes.
What role does a sense of purpose, do you feel, has in our lives as we age?
This is a real key one for aging well, and it's much trickier than it used to be because back 60, 70 years ago, most people grew up on a farm. They figured they're going to be a farmer when they grow up. They went to the same church all their lives. They stayed in the same community all their lives. There wasn't a lot of choice. Now everything's up for grabs, and where you live, what you're going to do for a living, and even if you pick what you're going to do for a living, often a few years later, the job disappears, and sometimes the whole career disappears, and we're constantly redefining ourselves. So unlike a lot of our grandparents, we have to constantly take a look at our sense of purpose and make sure that we're keeping a strong sense of purpose.
Thank you.
Another question?
Hi, I'm curious about actually two things. One of them would be that they've figured out that our body regenerates, you know, skeleton, stomach, all these things regenerate in a certain period of years.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, since I was a child, the aging process made no sense whatsoever. And I didn't believe in it, but it happened anyway. I'm using reading glasses and all that good stuff. And so I'm curious how those two reconcile together. And the other question would be about, there's some people now working on facial creams and things that are supposed to re-stimulate the telomeres, cause them to stay connected or regrow, or I'm not sure what they're doing, but I'm curious if that could be a valid process and a valid investment.
Well, with the particular products, it's very much a buyer beware market, and there are quite a few charlatans in the market, especially when it comes to things like growth hormones and secretagogues and facial products. I see it as kind of the Calvary's on the way in that there are so many exciting advances in the pipeline that we're going to see in the next 10 years or 20 years that if we take good care of ourselves now, we'll be able to take advantage of these advances. You mentioned telomeres. This is a fascinating area. Hayflick said that that is what limits us to about 120 years. Dr. West reported in Life Extension magazine in the current issue that he's developed a way of adding material to the telomeres so they don't keep getting shorter and shorter with each cell division. And that will extend the life of chromosomes. So that's one that's probably at least 10 years before it'll become commercially available. But it offers the possibility of letting cells reproduce indefinitely.
Nice.
Another question?
I have a question. What do you think about the idea, and this is just coming from someone who's in her, you know, mid-30s, what do you think about the idea of women and their reproduction? It seems like that's a conversation that's in my circle of friends, that's something we talk about, is about getting older and how we need to worry about that, or we may not have children. What are your thoughts on that? Is that something that may not be a true, I mean, may be something that we're bringing into kind of almost the stress and worry that may not really be real, or is it real?
Well, it is a real issue, and as you get older, it becomes a little more difficult to have children. Eventually, we'll get to the point where people will be able to freeze eggs, freeze sperm, and have children whenever they want, but we're not quite at that point yet. As you get older, there's also a slight increase of genetic abnormalities like Down syndrome.
Hello?
Yes.
It came late, but I heard you talking about telomeres. You thought it was that there might be some therapies that work for this. And I can tell you with certainty that TA Sciences, and this is not a commercial, just happen to be looking at their research right in front of me,
mm-hmm.
TA Sciences, based in New York, are the
company that licenses from Geron Corporation, who I believe mapped the genome, a product called EA65, which they say does lengthen telomeres and lengthen human lifespan. And for a mere $25,000 US, you can get this treatment protocol involving testing and taking the supplement in New York City or also from Dr. Al Sears in Orlando, Florida. There's nothing in Canada yet. Apparently, they believe that this does work.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm not familiar with the product. And the other thing I would say is that prices tend to come down remarkably fast in today's market.
The prices may come down. The price isn't so much for the product supplement as for the protocol. There's a lot of testing that has to go on to be sure that telomeres are lengthening, blood tests, other kinds of tests, and that's where one is involved.
Well, bottom line is I don't know whether that product is a legitimate product yet, but the technology makes sense. The companies that you mentioned are legitimate companies. And sooner or later, I think that kind of thing is going to be very available to people.
Oh, and hope so. If anybody wants to get in, you know, to verify the product, check it out, be diligent. I don't know if this is the place to do it, but I'm happy to give the number of TA Sciences.
Well, they could probably just Google TA Sciences and find it.
They can.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello, can I ask a question?
Okay, we'll make this the last question for a while. And what is your question?
Yes, I'm Dr. Bartasali calling from New Delhi, India. Very good morning to you.
Well, good morning.
From India.
Yes, and what is your question?
Yes, my question is how we can, what are the things, what are the techniques sort of things we can train our mind to use this anti-aging psychology? Tell me certain techniques because mind of all is to be trained for making this sort of thinking process. Please tell me how we can do that. Thank you.
My emphasis is on the attitudes, the beliefs, and the coping skills, the anti-aging ABCs. And I think a big part of staying youthful is a mental game. And by tweaking beliefs and getting rid of limiting beliefs, it makes a huge difference in how you think, feel, look, and act. Okay, I'm going to mute out now so we don't have as much background noise and get into some other beliefs.
Dr. Bricky, I have a question that our listeners may have been just too polite to ask. How old are you?
Stephen, that's an interesting question, and I hate to give you a straight answer because I had a librarian ask me once, or tell me once, that she happened to mention to her staff that she was, God forbid, over 50. And after that, they started treating her differently. They'd say, oh, Britney Spears, oh, I'm sorry, you wouldn't know who Britney Spears is, would you? They were leaving her off committees. She was young at heart. They had arteriosclerosis of the attitudes. I think the best answer for this question came from Bob Hope, who said that he's many ages. And I think what he means by this is there are times when I want to get down the floor and play with my 8-year-old twins like I'm 8 years old myself. And there are times when I want to shoot some hoops with my 20-year-old son like I'm 20 years old myself. And there are times when I want to draw upon 63 years of experience and share what I've learned. So you time travel to whatever the occasion calls for. And as you get older, you just feel like your repertoire of ages is getting richer and richer and richer. So as you probably gathered, I'm chronologically 63, but I like to think of myself as many ages.
That's great. So belief number 5 is I'm many ages. That may be my favorite one so far. Let's move on to belief number 6.
I got this idea from actress Helen Hayes. When they asked her, what's the best age of your life? She said, whatever age I am now. And then she added, and the age we live in is the best age. As I mentioned earlier, the research says that as we get older, we're likely to be happier. I think that she could have gone a little better with that. What I would prefer, she had said, this is the best age so far, because next year might be even better. So you want to have that idea. And the part about the age we live in is the best age, I know particularly this week it's easy to get a little depressed by all the bad economic news, but if you look at a longer perspective, amazing things have happened. And if you go back 50 years, our cars weren't nearly as safe and required a lot of maintenance. Air conditioning was only in movie theaters. Our TV sets had three channels and maybe a UHF channel, and they were all black and white and signed off around midnight. If you wanted to produce a paper, you had to get on a typewriter and use whiteout and carbon paper. If there was a long-distance call, the people would say, hurry, hurry, you know, because long-distance phone calls were so expensive. Now, more than half the people in the world have cell phones. Computers are everywhere, and every couple years, they're twice as productive as they used to. We had the Berlin Wall fall. We have China becoming more and more civilized every year and becoming part of the world community. We have India going from being a terribly poor nation to being an economic powerhouse. I think the world is becoming a more fabulous place every year. And when you feel that way, it gives you a much more positive outlook on life. So you want to have the idea that whatever age you are is the best age of your life so far, and the age that you're living in is the best time.
So, Dr. Bricky, it sounds like it really is all about perspective and focus. Can you give us another belief or two?
Sure. I want you to believe that you're more interesting than younger people. Now, you have to be careful about this one because you don't want to come across as arrogant. One of my favorite quotes was from Frances Lear. She said, "I can sit next to a man who has a gorgeous woman on his other side, and he'll talk to me every time because I'm more interesting." Clark Gable said, "The older woman has seen more, heard more, and knows more than that demure young woman. I'll take the older woman every time." Let me put it this way. If you had a chance to have lunch, would you rather have lunch with Jennifer Lopez or with Tina Turner, with Britney Spears, or with Oprah? I think most of you are going to say that Tina Turner and Oprah are far more interesting because they've experienced a lot more of life. Now, this, of course, is assuming that you are constantly learning things and you are enthusiastic and you have some passions. If you have that, you probably are a lot more interesting than younger people, so give yourself credit for it. So the belief is that you're more interesting than younger people and get more interesting every year.
So yes, lunch with Tina and Oprah, table for three, please. That's number seven. We have one more belief to get through, Dr. Bricky.
Our eighth belief is that you want to think of yourself as a person who makes new friends all your life. I see a lot of people who they kind of look around and this relative died and this friend died and they feel like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be the last one standing. I'm feeling lonelier and lonelier. But if you're out there making new friends every year, that doesn't happen. Just like a salesperson needs to keep finding new customers to replace the ones that are going to move or lose interest, you need to be making new friends all your life. Now, it's interesting the way friendships work. As a teenager and in your 20s and 30s, the idea is you're supposed to make friends with a wide variety of people, people from all kinds of cultures, all kinds of ages, because you won't know what the meaningful friendships are going to be, who you're going to click, where the depth is going to be until you try them out. But the research says by the time you get in your 40s and 50s and 60s, people get a very clear idea of what friendships are valuable, and increasingly they focus more of their energy on a smaller number of people, but more depth in close friendships and in families. So as you get older, you do want to have that focus on the quality friendships and the quality family relationships, but you do need to keep making new friends all your life.
I want to take a moment to let our listeners know that you do personal coaching by telephone. In fact, your coaching was featured in 6 issues of Let's Live magazine, and the results you got with all 3 of the women were quite impressive.
Stephen, I only have time for a small number of coaching clients, but I do love doing coaching. and helping people be crystal clear about who they are, what they want, and how to achieve it.
Now, we'll have a little more about how you can get a free coaching session with Dr. Bricky a little later. But to summarize so far, we've adopted 8 of the 36 beliefs tonight. Number 1, trash the idea of a senior moment. Number 2, minds can get better with age. Number 3, most people become happier and more positive as they age. Number 4, cultivate positive memories. Number 5, think of yourself as many ages. Number 6, Helen Hayes' idea of whatever age you are now is the best age so far, and the age we live in is the best age. Number 7, you're darned more interesting than younger people. And number 8, we need to resolve to make new friends throughout all of our lives. Now, getting back to the anti-aging ABCs, can you tell us, Dr. Bricky, a little about the attitudes that help us live longer, healthier, and happier?
Certainly. One of the attitudes is optimism. There are literally thousands of research articles that say that optimistic people live longer, healthier, happier lives. Indeed, the health starts showing up at around age 45 and becomes even more pronounced by age 65. People who are optimistic, if they do get cancer, they're more likely to beat it. If they get heart disease, they're more likely to beat it. Optimists earn more money. They have more friends. We even see that optimistic candidates, think of Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan, are more likely to win elections. And there's been fascinating research that studied the statements that sports teams made to the press and rated their level of optimism. And the optimistic teams tended to beat the point spreads. So it's a real no-brainer that if you're more optimistic, you're likely to experience a happier, healthier life. But the problem is that a lot of people think, well, you're just born optimistic or you're born pessimistic. Yes, whether you're an introvert or extrovert has a heavy genetic component, and there's even a significant genetic component to depression, but there doesn't appear to be a very strong genetic component to optimism and pessimism. Rather, it seems to be a very learned behavior. Martin Seligman, a famous psychologist, has the book Learned Optimism and the Optimistic Child that has a process that you can go through that will help you be more optimistic. And it's basically a syllogism that you go through reviewing things that have happened and reframing them. And it's a great system. It has great research support. But the problem is it's real hard to get people to have the discipline to do it. Last year, I discovered by accident what I think is a lot easier way to become more optimistic. Let me tell you a story. I was visiting a woman named Mary in a nursing home, and Mary has had a tough life, and now she's a widow, her only child is deceased, and she's in, frankly, a pretty run-down nursing home, and she is one of the most negative people I've ever met. She complains constantly about the place is dirty, the other residents steal from you, they haven't changed the sheets in a year. The food is terrible. Everything is terrible there. If you point out something like, gee, they've got some pretty flowers over there, you'll get an answer like, yeah, you know where those flowers came from, don't you? From dead people, from a funeral. Well, I met with Mary once a week for about a half an hour, and I would listen to what she said and just reframe what she said in a more positive way. And to my amazement, after about 2 or 3 months, she became a very positive person. She even started coming out of her room and hanging out in the lobby so she could people watch even though she couldn't hear very well. And then Mary got breast cancer. And I thought, uh-oh, this is probably going to be a setback. But she came back from the surgery, and after a couple weeks of recovery, she was back to being her positive self. And I said, Mary, I am so proud of you, just so impressed with the way that you went from being kind of a negative person to being a very positive, upbeat person. And she said, what do you mean? I never was a negative person. Well, you don't mess with success, so I let that go, but I couldn't help saying, Mary, and I was so impressed with the way that you bounced back from that mastectomy. She said, what mastectomy? I said, well, you remember when you had your breast removed? And she said, oh, yeah. And you know, I'm awful glad they took this one, pointing to one of her breasts, instead of this one because this one has my husband's name tattooed on it. That's positive thinking for you. So I gave a lot of thought to how did this happen? And what I came up with was it was just reframing things into a more positive way. And she had absorbed that and started doing it herself, and it became a habit for her. If you want to be a little cynical, you could say she became her own spin doctor, just as the politicians have staff who constantly put things in the best possible light. That's what she was doing. Now, the spin doctors aren't naive. They look down the road and make sure they're not going to get caught later in a big lie or something that's going to get them in trouble, but they do help the politicians put things in a positive light. So to me, the easiest way to be more optimistic is to just be your own spin doctor, or imagine that you have a spin doctor and imagine what the spin doctor would tell you. However you do it, being more optimistic is going to be a big boost to your health and longevity and your happiness. And most people aren't extreme optimists or extreme pessimists. They're somewhere in between. So the vast majority of us have a lot of room for becoming more optimistic.
Well, that's a great story and some great tips on how to implement that optimism, more of which you'll find in Dr. Bricky's books. And speaking of that, before too much time passes, I do want to let our listeners know about our special offer tonight. You can get Dr. Bricky's whole system, the Defying Aging book, the 52 Baby Steps book, his set of 6 reverse aging hypnosis CDs, and Defying Aging on cassette tapes. Individually, the system would cost $344.80, but as a package, the system is only $299.95. But to sweeten the offer even more, Dr. Bricky is going to give a free half-an-hour coaching session to the first 50 listeners who claim their systems now. And he will cut $25 off the price and even give you free shipping. To get this very special deal, the lowest price the system has ever been offered at, just go to www.notaging.com. That's NOTAGING.com, and click on the special offer link in the box describing tonight's seminar. The special link will only be there until midnight tonight.
Let me edit in some information for the podcast listeners. I indeed took that link down at midnight of the night of the teleseminar, but I don't want to slight my podcast listeners. So if you go to notaging.com, at the bottom of the page, you'll see Ageless Lifestyles Listeners special offer, and you can get the same special offer, including the coaching. But do act right away, because I will take the link down as soon as my coaching schedule gets too busy.
The system has a lifetime guarantee. If you're ever unhappy with it, you can return it for a full refund. So at this point, let's go back to the phones and take some more questions. Listeners who have muted their phones and want to ask questions now can press *6 and fire away.
You had mentioned in the beginning part of the hour something about hypnosis.
A lot of times people have unconscious beliefs about aging, and I think it's very important to address those unconscious beliefs as well, and that's why I developed the Reverse Aging Hypnosis DVDs to get at the unconscious beliefs that people often aren't aware of. It's very much like prejudices. A lot of times we have them and don't even realize them.
Oh, and you have that on this website that you just mentioned, notaging.com?
Yes.
Great, thank you.
Another question?
Do you think of how some of the cultures, like how the older people are treated and more respected, have a lot to do with their better aging than what they may eat or drink? Like you hear about some of these places where they lived 190, but then the elderly are more involved and they're treated with respect compared to sometimes like America, they get rid of you when you're too old at work and stuff like that?
That's an excellent point, and probably one of the big reasons that people in Okinawa, for example, have such long lifespans is that the culture really values older people. And I think one of the things we're going to see happen in the United States is the baby boomers just are not going to sit still for being pushed aside. They want to be young forever and are just insisting on it. And it's such a large piece of the population that I think we're going to see the culture move that direction. On top of that, people really are looking and feeling younger at older chronological ages. So there's good justification for saying I'm not over the hill just because I'm 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100 and something. Does that answer your question?
I have a question.
Yes.
I was wondering if you can, if there's any technique we can do maybe before we go to bed or while we're laying in bed going to sleep, or something that we can do that would maybe help us turn back our aging, so to speak, on a regular basis.
Well, any kind of relaxation, meditation, yoga, I think what people need to do is find something that's very relaxing that works for you. For some people, it may be music, it might be singing, but we all need something to get us out of the fast pace that our lives are often in and into a very relaxed state. And if you want to make it even better, then give yourself some suggestions, possibly some of the beliefs that we're talking about tonight. Another question?
Yes. I'm wondering if one has been through a particularly stressful time and you can kind of see it reflected in your face, et cetera, et cetera. Can we undo the damage done, or is it already there for good?
To some extent, the damage kind of accumulates, but I think, again, this idea of the cavalry's on the way, that we're getting more and more help from medical science. For example, they're working on a vaccine for atherosclerosis. I haven't seen much about it lately, so I'm guessing it's not imminent, but that would do wonders to reverse the kind of damage that you're talking about. And we've certainly seen a lot of people who were near death's door and made a lot of changes in their lives and attitudes and came back and became healthy again. So in most cases, you can get healthy again if you're developing health problems. But obviously, the sooner you catch it and turn that around, the better.
Do you also believe that the mass consciousness belief in aging and those other beliefs you were talking about that we may not know are there, are those the things that offset a conscious intention to stay youthful forever and all the other research about the body regenerating? I mean, we should look young forever if everything gets renewed at the max every 7 years, but we don't.
Yeah, I think you're focusing on Deepak Chopra's idea of the cells being replaced every 7 years or so, depending on which cell it is. I think the technologies that will keep all of the cells looking youthful are probably still a few decades off, but likely to come. In the meantime, we need to do the relaxation. We need to have good attitudes and beliefs and good coping skills, because that has such a huge influence on our health and well-being.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Do we have another question?
Yes, Mike. This is Regan Rodriguez.
Hi, Regan.
Hello. I've got a question in regards to sense of purpose. And what I mean specifically about that is I know that I have read articles about folks that have been in the hospital that were diagnosed with cancer, and then when they later found out why they were able to fight that off, because they felt they had unfinished business. And I remember once reading an article that it was something as little as someone had this garden they had to tend to at home, and they felt it was so important that they needed to get back to cultivate that garden. But can you talk a little bit about people that feel that they have unfinished business and how healing takes place because of that?
Seen a lot of those cases, and it's very real. Let me give a kind of an analogous example. When somebody dies, take for example Cadney Leitner, who was the founder of MAD. Here was a woman whose daughter was killed by a drunk driver. She had every reason in the world to be depressed for the rest of her life. And instead, she said, I'm going to make my daughter's death have meaning and purpose, and went out and founded MAD. And the effect of that has saved thousands and thousands of lives from drunk drivers. So oftentimes it's finding a purpose, giving meaning to a bad event or to something tragic in your life. And we just have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to give it back to Stephen to wrap things up. And thank you all for the questions. Appreciate it.
Okay, everyone, I just want to remind you once again that to get the anti-aging system, all the books, the hypnosis CDs, the book on tape, and the free coaching session with Dr. Bricky, just go to www.notaging.com. That's NOTAGING.com and click on the special offer link in the box describing tonight's seminar. The special link will only be there until midnight tonight. Let me edit in some information for the podcast listeners. I indeed took that link down at midnight of the night of the teleseminar, but I don't want to slight my podcast listeners. So if you go to notaging.com, at the bottom of the page, you'll see Ageless Lifestyles Listeners special offer, and you can get the same special offer, including the coaching. But do act right away, because I will take the link down as soon as my coaching schedule gets too busy. System has a lifetime guarantee. If you're ever unhappy with it, return it for a full refund. While you're visiting notaging.com, be sure to sign up for Dr. Bricky's free email newsletter and learn about his free weekly podcast in which he interviews anti-aging experts each week. So get to notaging.com tonight before midnight. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. If you missed even one word of what Dr. Bricky was talking about, be sure to go to notaging.com to get a wide variety of information on how to defy aging. Dr. Bricky, thanks for having us tonight.
And thank you all. Good night. Well, that's our special edition of Ageless Lifestyles. Do catch us next week when I interview online dating expert Dr. James Horan. And be sure to send your comments. I'd love to get your comments and ideas and questions. Send them to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. And thank you for joining us on our quest to live longer, healthier, and happier.